Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Authors Airwaves, where books come alive. Each week, we feature news and interviews from leading authors in self-help, personal growth, disabilities, and paranormal phenomena. I'm Victor Volkman with Loving Healing Press in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
And I'm Robin Marvel of Marvelous Empowerment in Hershey, Michigan.
Welcome to episode number 25 in our series. Our special guest who will be joining us this hour is John Temporelli, co-author of the new book, Heaven, Can You Hear Me?, a biography of the late psychic phenomenon and paranormal researcher Peter James. You can learn more about our guests on the Authors Airwaves website, which is authorsairwaves.com. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about tonight's show. Please send them to info@authorsairwaves.com. My co-pilot for this episode is Robin Marvel, an author, empowerment and life positivity coach, energetic specialist, and motivational speaker for children and adults. Using tools from her Awakening Consciousness book series, she is expanding creativity and self-awareness in beings everywhere. Featured on many radio and television shows worldwide, she is a leading expert in empowerment. She's also the senior editor of Marvelous Spirit Press. Robin is the owner of Marvelous Empowerment, which provides a variety of workshops to encourage empowerment in all ages. And you can learn more about Robin at her website, www.marvelousempowerment.com. Now tonight, we're on the air with John Temporelli, and we'll be talking about the remarkable Peter James, who gained global fame for his abilities as a documented televised psychic and paranormal researcher, as a weekly psychic investigative correspondent for the Fox hit primetime television show Sightings. James' evidential discoveries have become legendary in the field of paranormal research. Peter James was featured in 44 episodes of the series that lasted 8 years. This program is currently syndicated in over 50 countries. Additionally, Sightings was a national lead-in to a new show at the time, which you might remember called The X-Files. Today, James is regularly featured as expert commentary regarding ghost research for worldwide televised specials and documentaries. But this evening, we'll be talking with John Temporelli, who is the co-author and key editor of Heaven, Can You Hear Me? He is currently the founder and CEO of an advertising agency in Southern California. Temporelli graduated with a bachelor's degree in broadcasting from the University of Laverne in 1995. Since that time, he has worked extensively in the entertainment industry. John Temporelli says that he is a longtime fan regarding the career and ability of Peter James on Sightings and other paranormal programming. Moreover, he considers it an honor to co-author this book and to be considered a friend of James. John Temporelli and his wife Shirley and daughter Sophia Francesca reside in Long Beach, California. Well, good evening, John.
Hi, Victor. Hi, Robin. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for being here. We're glad to have you.
Oh, thanks.
I was going to start out the question tonight. I find Peter James fascinating, all of the wonderful accomplishments that he's done with the paranormal and the Queen Mary and all of his great things that he's done. And my first question would be is, how did you come to write the book and meet him and become such an influential part of your life?
My wife and I, my now wife, but 18 years ago when we were first dating, I was going to the University of Laverne, and we had a VCR that chewed up tapes. We didn't have cable, and I stayed in the dorms. And so we've been fans of the paranormal, and we found that show Sightings. It was on Friday nights at 8 p.m., and again, as you mentioned, that it was followed by a new show at the time called The X-Files that we were, quickly enamored with, and that became our first, was that lineup. And there was this weekly psychic correspondent on the program that was Peter James, and he would be at paranormally active locations, historic ones, private residences across the nation, and they would not give him any prior knowledge about any of the activity or any of the places that he would go, simply that they would fly him to a city, drive him by like an hour and a half in a town car, to go to a private residence and come up with what he could vibrationally sense and pick up as a psychic. And they would go into the Dewey Decimal Systems and archives and court records and in these small towns and verify all the names and circumstances of death that Peter would come across in his investigations. And that's what we saw And some of the evidential things that would happen are the names he would come up with. It would catch on a recording of some ghost voice that wasn't there at the time of the taping that would say the same name or something. And there was something that was different about Peter that my wife and I quickly picked up on, that he had an ability that you could detect and know from that programming. And two, here local lore in Long Beach, California, is the Queen Mary, and he discovered the ghost girl in the pool area, which a lot of people had been talking about, and you always just kind of knew about in this area. And he came up with her name, had a conversation with her that was televised for one of the episodes of Sightings, in which she vocalized back and forth with Peter James, and it was just him, a videographer, and two appointed security guards from the ship. And that was one of the most famed ones that we remember. And so it was just something that over the years, you remember the show, you wish it would come back, you wondered what happened to Peter James all these years, and just definitely knew that there was something to this person. And later on, after writing the book with him, found out that he assisted law enforcement in the incarceration of murderers and cold cases that they really had no leads on. He assisted in those cases as well. So it was somebody for us that we really held in high regard as someone that beyond just watching paranormal programming and seeing psychics do different things, you really felt something in watching him. And we just stayed, you know, viewers of his different programmings as they would come up on cable or different things during the years. And it sounds like you knew of Peter James beforehand as well, Robin?
I did not until I came across the book and doing this interview, but I started researching him and finding out more about him, and I just found him fascinating. I just found it was really great, all of the abilities that he had and all of the great work that he was doing. And I listened to some of the audio from the Queen Mary and stuff, and I just thought, wow, that's so amazing to me. It really speaks to you, like you were talking about. It really definitely you can connect with it and feel the authenticity, and you're like, wow, this is really amazing. So
I dove right into it. Right. As far as the aspects of the book, and you feel sort of that same thing that we did. We were just kind of drawn to, you know, his investigations and his approach and methodology that you don't see too often these days in the paranormal programming. You see a lot of confrontational things and people on an attack mode when they talk to spirit entities and residences, and it's more for the shock value, I think, of some of the programming today. And he didn't have that approach. These were his friends from when he was a child and developed the gift. I didn't find this out till later, but you know, to back up to that one point on writing the book with Peter, for our 10-year wedding anniversary, my wife and I, in 2007, we wanted to do something different, and we didn't know anything about Peter James since that show, and just different documentaries that were on the Discovery Channel, like A Haunting, and different movies that were made on some of his investigations, what he was doing these days. So there was we live here locally again by the Queen Mary, and so we thought, let's do a paranormal tour on the Queen Mary. And so my wife started researching it, and then sure enough, Peter James's image showed up on the Queen Mary website is coming back and hosting paranormal tours. So we were quite excited about that. We signed up right away to be a part of those tours. And that was in April of, 2007, because we were married on, April 26th. And so it was that same weekend. We signed up, we're a part of his tour, and I've worked in the film industry for several years and tend to know the nature of celebrities. And I just thought, okay, this is somebody that's going to come out, briefly say something to the crowd, and then say, okay, here's my assistant. They'll take you through the rest of the ship. That's just naturally what I thought was going to happen.
Right, yeah.
Because you didn't know him as a person. You just saw him on the programming and just what they would cut away to, and as he is a psychic correspondent. But then I found out quickly that it was quite the opposite. He was part of every aspect of the tour. It went from like 8:30 p.m. to like 1:30 a.m. And he battled his whole life with respiratory complications. He had chronic bronchitis his whole life, asthma, and he over the course of the evening became very labored in his breathing. But there was a woman that was visibly upset on the dinner tour that lost a sister just a couple months earlier and just wanted some closure and resolution and on his theories on the afterlife. And so he spent quite an amount of time really comforting her and letting her know what is on the other side from what he can tell vibrationally and to the best of his ability, and always keep an open mind, because that's quite limited as well. And he doesn't always feel that comfortable with the information that he gets, but to the best of his ability was answering her questions. And that's what I found unique as well. There isn't just this definitive, oh yeah, they're doing this, they're doing that, you know, because he really doesn't have those answers, but he can give you, to the best of his ability, what he can get and feel comfortable with and letting you know. And that's something that let me know that this is somebody just a little bit more genuine in the field.
Right.
And so, yeah, we went through the whole tour with him. He took us to all the different parts of the ship, and again, as taxing as it was to him physically. And we came back, our daughter was at a sitter's, and, you know, she was 8 years old at the time, and we told her about Peter James. We had a DVD that he had as well that he just gave us to give to our daughter and to the whole crowd. He gave everybody his personal email address and said to definitely correspond with him, his home phone number, that if anybody had any questions about the paranormal or the afterlife or need any closure or anything of that type, feel free to contact him anytime. That was unique as well.
That's very rare.
Right. So, but our daughter was real jealous when we let her know about this, and she saw the video and the ghost girl talking in the pool area. So I corresponded with him and just let him know that, you know, we just thanked him just deeply for the tour. Just great to see him after all these years, and that I had a little bit of a project idea that I thought he might benefit from. And I just thought, well, you know, let me just share it with him. And so I wrote to him about it. And then he wrote back, like, you know, thank you, and was very gracious in return, multi-paragraph response. I didn't expect that either, and nonetheless, that's who he was. So he wrote back, yeah, and he loved my project idea, and he wanted me to outline it. So I put it together in like a 7 or 8 page synopsis and an outline of what it would entail, and then I sent that to him. But based on the way I wrote that, from what he let me know, he really liked the way I wrote, and he said, you know, John, will you help me write my book? And that's where I was just like, wow, you know, I'm going from being a fan. Yeah. From being a fan to just potentially, you know, co-authoring with a legend. And I, of course, agreed right off the bat, corresponded back to him. And then he just started forwarding me file after file of this book and this work that he had been putting together for years. And it never really, he'd shown it to other people that dropped the ball on it with him and never really carried it out. And so, you know, I just assured him that, yeah, I will do this for you. I'll put your words to paper, find a publisher, do whatever necessary to do this. I'd love to do that for you. And he just kept stressing to me that he wished for this book to be his legacy, and that he wants to, you know, if there's a kid that can really sleep safe at night just from knowing the content of the book, it would make, you know, his world and everything happy. So I said, that's a great message. I love it. When I looked at what he sent to me, I just couldn't stop reading it. Of course, I'd been wondering what he'd been up to all these years, looking at the content, the chapters, and there wasn't really an order to everything that he had. He just sort of free wrote. But then what I noticed uniquely, and I corresponded to him, can we meet about this? He said, certainly. He invited me and my wife to his place for dinner, and I went out there, and there was something particular that I noted about his writing, and that's that he just free wrote first person and how he spoke. And if you know Peter James, or if you go back through on the MySpace and you see some of the content from the videos and the Sally's House investigation that was famed, where the parent was getting the scratches on his stomach, and the Queen Mary footage of Jackie the ghost girl talking to him and seeing that again, there's a way that he communicated, and he painted pictures, and he wrote the same way. So when I met with him, I kind of detected that from him with the correspondence, that he wanted me to take everything he wrote and put it in book format. But I convinced him, and for the sake of the fans, I said, can I just take what you wrote and correct it, you know, with syntax and grammar elements, and just add a flow to what you write? Because the way he spoke, one sentence would be like a paragraph long. So I had my work cut out for me. Yeah, see, that's the thing. That was what was a refreshing part, too, is that I got him to agree to do that. So that's what's unique in this writing approach and how the book is formatted and ultimately put together, is that you are reading this, and your inner voice is actually his voice as you're reading this, because it is his transition words that, you know, just had that flow and were unique to him, and just had that flow about the writing aspect is the way he spoke. So when you read it, it has that flow, and I just made sure that it was as correct and as succinct as possible, but really it doesn't fit every element to a true sentence. It's really a painted picture, and that's what I enjoyed about it, and that's what I get constantly from fans that are seeing this, and that they can really hear his voice when they're reading, and they enjoy that.
Which is very important. If you're going to read a book about somebody that is a legend, such as Peter James, you want to be able to feel him within the pages of the book and not just somebody writing about him. So
if you're writing about John Adams, you can simply just document what you know.
Right.
You can't really use their voice. So that was something also, too, that I found closure with, because we had this meeting. He detailed for me exactly how he wanted the chapter progression to go, the table of contents, how he wanted the book cover to look. He detailed everything to us, and ultimately, too, his breathing became labored throughout the course of the evening, but he just was really stressing how he wanted the book to look and the layout and the content order, and most importantly, again, that he wished for this book to be his legacy. And then we had the one meeting. A week later, I sent him a correspondence about some other questions I certainly started getting. I mean, the second we got in our car and started heading home, I just came up with more questions, and I wasn't getting the replies. And then I got a reply from his former personal assistant that he'd gone into the hospital, and of course, he never came out. So we just had that one meeting on how he wanted the book, his deep intention for this to be his legacy, and then, of course, he went in, never came out. So it left me with that huge responsibility of getting this out there, getting it published, finding a publisher also, too, which was something I was fearful of for a few weeks there, is that they're going to take this, they're going to chop it up, and then they'll turn it into that book format, you know. So
right.
I found World Audience, the publishing house, who actually, you know, referred me to you as well for the interview. And that's what I found refreshing about Mike Strozer, one of the CEOs within the World Audience, is that he agreed contractually not to change Peter's voice, to keep the flow there, simply take the correction, publish the book, and so the book is out there. It's in the hands of the fans exactly as the way they intended, with their help of not doing anything to butcher the content or all the fearful things I thought about the industry. So
right.
It's ultimately,
well, that's good. It's good you were proved wrong then for that.
Right. So that did turn into a long story. I didn't mean to do that, but led to the... Right, so...
Within the book, do you emphasize on, like, his process of when he was, like, seeing and sensing and communicating with the ghost? Is there, you know, kind of, like, not necessarily step-by-step, but kind of what he sensed and how he went into the experience of speaking with them and communicating with them on a vibrational level?
Right. That's an important element in the book, and certainly something that, I mean, I was just watching Ghost Lab on, I believe, Travel Channel or Discovery Channel, and paranormal programming is just, like, extremely in the mainstream now, so the timing couldn't have been any better. But what it's done is it's become a sort of a Bible for new paranormal groups and ghost hunters and people of that type, because it is so much in the mainstream, but there's a lot of precautions that these, you know, some people are like weekend warriors, or they watch the programming and think, hey, I'm going to buy a recorder, go into a haunted library and just start going around and doing things. There's things that he cautions you of, or he lets you know this is what you may experience, and that it's not just something that you dabble in, you know. So it's become sort of a Bible, again, for these people that in one chapter, in the final chapter, it walks you through how he would go through a paranormal investigation and how he would start from the outside and go in, and how he would communicate and the things he would ask. And also, too, and I've gotten tons of fan mail from people that, you know, really have active activity in their home and they don't know how to address it or what it is or if it's harmful. And they found comfort in what directs them in doing. He does give step-by-step on how to cleanse your home or how to coexist with a spirit or entity, and ultimately communication is the number one aspect in dealing with the other side. So he does walk you through that. I have had a lot of people just let me know how it's sort of saved their life and their home and everything, and certainly to not abandon beliefs or to subscribe to one thing. He was very good at spelling that out as well. So it runs the whole gamut through the course of the book.
That's great, because people can use it as a tool to help guide themselves, just like you were just saying with the steps and stuff, so they're not going into something blinded. They're able to use the book to really learn and, you know, help along their experience to make it easier for them.
Right, right. And that's what's so important, too, is that, you know, it's almost like he sort of foreshadowed this trend or this development, and that it's very important to have this as an aspect of that, you know, is that it's all the theories on possession and all these different things, and to ease people that may have really maybe a family member that has a mental illness and prescribes all these different approaches or things that maybe answer a lot of questions where people just don't have the answers or this is something thrust upon them if they buy a new home or, you know, he really walks you through all those aspects of every poltergeist activity all the way through the investigations that he's worked on that brought him global fame and what the activity was. He has been burned, slapped, pushed, shoved, and he talks about all that and then how to proceed with that type of activity and what the archetypes of these people are. And as he describes it, 95% of these are, or that he communicates with, are people that died tragically or untimely. They're confused by that transition into the afterlife. And so he says, and it's carried out throughout the book too, as in life, so in death. These are people just like you and I. They may be confused. They become territorial, certain ones, because of that confusion. If they were somebody with a type of bigotry or, you know, prejudice, they're that same way in the afterlife as well. And these are people that he's, you know, had confrontations with, but that's what people don't realize, is that these are people just like you and I. They're not these mythical creatures or gargoyles running along the ground and all these demon type of things. And he was traditionally educated in Catholicism, and he was an ordained minister at one time, but he explores that as well in the introduction, that his religious upbringing and his educational training, it conflicted with his psychic ability. So he explores that, too, of that conflict that he has. And these children that when he was growing up that perished in a fire in a home that his mother and he occupied, that, you know, what about the unexplained questions about what's in the afterlife, the separation from the parent, you know, that he was noticing, and that's where the title Heaven Can You Hear Me comes from, is one of the particular children in the attic area was always broadcasting to his mother, and at that time, you know, when he was a kid, radio was very big, and so the child was sort of broadcasting and every once in a while would say, Heaven, can you hear me? Trying to reach out to his mother. So yeah, it answers a lot of questions for me of, like, you know, what would happen in the afterlife or what to expect. Certainly not abandon my religious faith, but, you know, not just to go with hearsay human, you know, knowledge, but to really explore other avenues of what possibly is out there. And, you know, and to have that help kids sleep better at night, or, you know, not to be so ingrained that they'll be shoveling coal and hell if they do something bad, you know, that's all important stuff.
Right.
So.
How old was he when he first developed his abilities? Is that talked about in the book at all? Because I know I believe that all children have psychic abilities and abilities to communicate with spirit, but as you get older, sometimes it's programmed out of you. So I'm just interested to know, has he always been like this and he never lost it growing up, or is it something that he started to develop and acknowledge as an adult?
Right. Definitely carried over from childhood. And that's, he says before he even had a concept of what a ghost or an entity was, and that these children playmates would just appear and he would play with them in this residence, and that he says that it was around 8 years old when that happened, when he was in this one apartment with his mother, and that's the chapter, you know, dedicated to the, you know, his development of the ability, and he walks you through that of the initial development of an ability as a child and perceiving it, understanding it, and then ultimately, too, it led to an abusive situation with his mother that, you know, she thinks that something's mentally wrong with her child, and
right.
So she was abusive towards him anytime he would discuss any of this. But also, they had a piano that was in the same residence that would play in the middle of the night. His mother worked several jobs, and it was, their place was adjoined with an upholstery factory that was quite loud. So when she heard this piano playing, she would get up, just run in the room screaming at him. He admits that he developed a stuttering problem during that time as well from that. But at the same time, the one time he went away to his grandparents' house to stay with them for a weekend, and then the piano kept playing. And so the mom started to slowly accept his gift and ability. But today, kids have outlets. There's shows, programming, Psychic Kids, Children of the Paranormal on A&E, and they have actual camps, or they, you know, have people that mentor them and work with them and let them, their parents know about this ability and what to expect. And he didn't have that. He just had a mom that just really didn't understand. I understand that fear that at that time, maybe in the, you know, 50s, that, you know, there was only anything available would be an experimental drug that they would do with your child. It must be a pretty fearful time for a parent. So, but yeah.
A lot of questions, no answers. So definitely it would be a different time for them.
Yeah, he actually found a newspaper article when he started getting older and working in the adjoined upholstery factory about the fire that happened in that place and about the family that perished, and all the names of the kids were listed in the article, and he was finally able to prove it to his mom. Unfortunately, it was years later, but, you know,
he got closer. Yep, definitely. That's amazing, isn't it? I wanted to see if you if there's a site that people can go to learn more about Peter James that you want to share with everybody and where they can get your book at.
Right, it's myspace.com/PeterJamesLives. That was a format that I set up per the request of the publishing CEO and Peter's family, because a site is one thing, but this is interactive. It allows the fans to come and give their outpourings and sign a guest book and leave comments and then see the videos and see early pictures of Peter when he was on investigations. And also throughout his life, I was granted permission to post those images as well. And I like to get back and interact with the fans just as he did. So I respond to every email, every inquiry. And, you know, I have now, you know, luckily from signings, I have other people within the field of the paranormal that are taking those requests, or people with haunting activity, because I'm not a psychic. I have a place I can now refer people to or get back to them and let them know what they say, whatever. You know, so
yeah, it's great that they have you to help connect them with people that they need. And, I mean, you're obviously right there at the right time with Peter James to get this up and running and going and bring his legacy around for everybody to know about and keep it living.
Right, and because these are his core fans, and it, you know, it's really catered to that approach. I mean, this isn't really going out to the masses or in every bookstore. I have in the blogs real-time posted discounts. So if the publishing CEO approves some discount, I'll post it in the blog so that the fans know real-time what that is, and they aren't paying too much, or they're not, you know, getting this at another source or something. I have all the options there: Amazon.com, Amazon UK, Amazon France, Amazon Australia, Amazon Germany, BarnesandNoble.com, I have all the links there, and also other things that if the publisher does something that's beyond their discount, that'll be offered there too, so it can actually get into the hands of the fans.
Oh, great, that's great. I wanted to know, is there a certain message that Peter James would like all of us to know, just a general message that that might have really stuck with you with working with him that you think he would like to make sure that everybody knows?
Right, yeah, that would be pretty much the messages all carried throughout, as in life, so in death, you know, just to take the fear and the sting out of the afterlife and the paranormal. And as well, the final line in his book, I believe, sums it up, but just to paraphrase, it's he was looking for a message so profound that the world at large would realize in the sense of ghosts. And someone recently in December of 2008 at a paranormal convention on the Queen Mary actually got a communication with Jackie, the Queen Mary talking ghost child, that was 17 minutes in length, and it's posted. They're having it analyzed, but he had it compared with Peter James from 1991, the exchange that they had for the show sightings, and there's a 7.8% match out of 10 that they got. Another one was an 8.2% match out of 10 that it's the same child's voice. And I guess what the analyst said is that 6% is all that's needed for a conviction in a court of law. And this is a professional, two different professionals going over the same audio evidence and coming up with those findings. So it's like that message is getting carried out for Peter, that proof is starting to get brought out there. He wanted the book to go global, and with World Audience Publishing certainly has allowed that to happen too through Amazon.com and all the different aspects of Amazon. It's selling all over the world, literally. So it's carried out his legacy in the way that he wanted to. It's reaching the core fans, and that message at the end of the book with the trend in the field of the paranormal, all the new devices and things that they have coming out, and the collective evidence that you can go online and just catch real time it's really opening a lot of minds that, yeah, there are these voices on recordings that are being captured. And I've been, you know, by default, because everybody highly regarded Peter, that I'm getting involved and invited on these paranormal investigations. I spent an overnight on Alcatraz. My wife got poked in the back. We have audio recordings that we captured. I post these things on the blogs, too. And a lot of people are going, seeing those, spending time on the site. And as well, some EVPs that were captured, which are electronic voice phenomenon recordings that I posted in the propeller room on the Queen Mary, which is right outside the Royal Theater, which was at one time the second-class swimming pool where Peter believes that Jackie initially drowned, but prefers the elegance and the grandeur of the first-class swimming pool. But there's her voice is on those recordings, as well as some people referring to her by name in between my voice and my wife's voice. And no one was around at the time, and Jackie specifically referred to by different voices in that room. So it's like, for me, I've gone from a believer to a knower through all this. I mean, it's really carrying Peter's message out there, and the people that go and see this and to have that verification for him, too, at this time, I feel is really important and really come full circle for him.
Well, thank you, John. It's clear that your friendship and love of Peter James and his work really comes through, and in your book is just an enormous tribute, and I think he couldn't be happy with what's happened. And thank you for appearing on our show. Again, that's John. Yes, thank you. John Temporelli, the co-author and key editor of Heaven, Can You Hear Me?, a new book from World Audience Press, and you can learn more about him at www.myspace.com/PeterJamesLives. You've been listening to another podcast edition of Authors Airwaves, where books come alive. You can learn more about all of our guests on the Authors Airwaves website, which is authorsairwaves.com. We'd love to hear from you about tonight's show. Please send us your questions and comments to info@authorsairwaves.com. Authors Airwaves is a joint production of Modern History Press and Marvelous Empowerment.
For Marvelous Empowerment, this is Robin Marvel saying thank you and good night.
For Loving Healing Press, this is Victor Volkman in Ann Arbor, Michigan, wishing you all a good evening.